Blog Talk Radio.
God bless you and welcome to Royal Daughters. This is Sister Debbie. We're going to cover a very important topic on today. It's called The Covering. Let's go ahead and start with the word of prayer. Dear Lord God, we come before you, Father, in the name of Jesus. We ask you to have your will and your way. Say exactly what you want to say. Hide me, I'll be behind the cross. And Holy Ghost, fill every place. Amen. God bless you. Welcome to the show on today. Let's talk a little bit about the covering. What do I mean when I say covering? Well, we can all think about a covering and what a covering does and what a covering means. To cover means to hide. To cover means to reveal at a certain time. There's different and various synonyms for the word cover. Matter of fact, I'm going to go ahead and pull a couple of the synonyms up. A covering to enfold, to tuck, to surround, to embed, to submerge, to immerse, to coat, to smother, to carpet, to overlay, to blanket. And so there's several synonyms for the word cover. There's also adorn, adornment, garnish, to embellish, to beautify. When we talk about the word cover, and so it's important to understand what these words mean as we begin to investigate and read various scripture. Amen. And so I'm going to be coming out of Genesis 4. Everyone can go ahead and move on over to the Old Testament, and we're going to be looking at Genesis 4, and I'm going to be talking about Cain and Abel, specifically Cain, and what God said and told Cain that he needed to do, because yes, every man and every woman is born with a free will, but God tells us exactly what we need to do so we will be able to operate and move and navigate as we have this freedom, amen. And so let's go ahead and read now. And so verse 4 and 1 says, "Now Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, saying, I have gotten a man with the help of the Lord. And again she bore his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of sheep, and Cain a worker of the ground. In the course of time, Cain brought to the Lord an offering of the fruit of the ground, and Abel also brought the firstborn of his flock and of their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and his offering, but for Cain and his offering he had no regard. So Cain was very angry, and his face fell. The Lord said to Cain, why are you angry, and why has your face fallen? Verse 7, if you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door. Its desire is for you, but you must rule over it. Cain spoke to Abel, his brother, and when they were in the field, Cain rose up against his brother Abel and killed him." Stop right there for right now. And so now we have a story where we go all the way back to Genesis 1, where God covered Adam and Eve with his protection, his fatherly love and protection. They were in the garden. They were in a secure and loving place, a place where God would walk in the coolness of day and be present with them. His presence was their glory, was their protection, the love of the Father. Amen. And so then what happened in Genesis 3? Well, the serpent came into the garden. And yes, Adam and Eve had a free will then. Amen. But they decided to go ahead and move away from the presence of God when they disobeyed God, because when we disobey God, we're actually moving away from God. God says, we draw nigh to him, he'll draw nigh to us. And so here now Eve is walking towards the tree that God commanded them not to eat. And so she was lured off, listen to the deception of the serpent, and she had her ear open. She heard what the serpent said, and she was deceived. And the serpent, he sowed doubt. He said, did God not say? And so now he's messing with her will, because now he's sowing doubt. He's sowing unbelief. He's sowing double-mindedness, because now she's beginning to waver, and she doesn't know if she can trust God, because the devil's now playing with her mind, and he's playing with the word of God, but she doesn't have the discernment to know truth from lying. So she becomes deceived, and so she falls, and all mankind falls, because all mankind is in the loins of Adam. And so all men have sinned, for all of sin that comes short of the glory of God. There's no one righteous, no, not one. And so God said, he promised to mankind, I believe it's in Genesis, I want to say Genesis 3 and, wow, I want to say Genesis 3 and 15. Let's go over to 15. It says, I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel. So God made a promise that the woman, when she gave birth, that God would one day send forth a deliverer. He would send forth someone to to smash, to crush the serpent's head, to crush the very one who confused her, the very one who lied to her, the very one who caused her to lose her authority, to lose her glory, that he would one day rule and reign over that enemy, amen, and take back and what the devil stole and give it back to Eve, give her back the authority. Jesus Christ will come and do that so she can once again rule and reign and do what God has called her to do and give him the glory, amen. She would take her place again. And so now we find ourselves here with Cain and Abel, who are now born in sin, and Cain killed his brother Abel, and Abel's acts were righteous. Abel had a heart towards God. Abel gave God the fruit of his he gave him the first fruit, the animal. He gave him an unblemished animal, and that was acceptable in the eyes of the Lord. And then Cain gave him something that was from the ground. They said the ground was cursed. And so now, as we begin to look at the next verse, and I'm going to go ahead and we're going to go ahead and look at that now. And I want to really slow down a little bit, because I think the thing, what I want to hone in on when we talk about covering, is the fact that God covered Adam and Eve. He covered Adam and Eve. You go back to Genesis, and then we'll go back to three. I mean, back to four. In Genesis 1, Adam and Eve, when Adam and Eve sinned, and then God was looking for Adam and Eve in the coolness of the day in the garden, and he asked Adam where he was, and Adam said, And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" And he said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." And so we want to hold on to that point right there. Our title is covering. Number two, God did cover them in the very beginning, right? He was the very covering. He was the Shekinah. He was the glory. The glory of God covered them. His presence was there with them in the garden. God protected them. His glory, his presence protected them. Yahweh Shema, who's always right there with them, protected him by his glory, by his very presence. My God, God protected them. He covered them by his presence, and he was there with them. And so then what happened, I believe, when Eve sinned and ate the piece of fruit, and then the glory left. I believe the glory left like Ichabod. The glory was gone. Not that God wants the glory to be gone, but here was holy and present God, a holy God, and he couldn't be in the presence of sin. And so then he had to do what? Well, God had to, he worked, he loved us, he loved it, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. And I'll get more into Jesus Christ coming, the one who crushed, he was the one who was the serpent crusher. He crushed the serpent's head. And so I'll get a little bit to that a little later on. And so here now we need a covering. And so God, because of his love and his grace in Genesis 1, God covered Adam and Eve, even though Adam and Eve were now kicked out of the garden, because that was one of the consequences of their sin. They could no longer dwell in that garden, because that garden was a holy place. That garden was, you know, a place of where God dwelled, and they couldn't dwell in the presence of the Lord and be in sin. We can't dwell in the presence of the Lord and be in sin. We have to repent of our sin. And so now we have, I believe it's Genesis 1. I want to talk about, we're going to go to the end of that particular verse, because it says in verse 22, let me move down. I'm going to go ahead and read 23. "Therefore the Lord God sent him out of the garden of Eden to work the ground from whence he was taken." He's talking about the man. And so what happens, God is now cursing the snake, and he's now letting the man and the woman know that they have to leave the garden, that they can't remain there. And so now God is saying to them, and he said to the woman, he said, "I will surely multiply your pain in childbearing, and pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you." And to Adam he said, "Because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you." And so he cursed the ground because of him, because of Adam. And then he says, "In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return." And then it says, we're getting to the point here. It said the man called his wife its name Eve because she was the mother of the living. Here's 21, and the Lord God made for Adam and for his wife garments of skins and clothed them. And so God covered them. And so we need to understand that God loves them. God covered them. And so God's always loved them. But sin is what separated them from God. And so now here we are with Cain and Abel, who were born in sin, shaped in iniquity. God loves them. God is still speaking to them because Cain was able to hear the voice of God, and Abel was able to bring God an acceptable sacrifice. Amen. And so now we find we're in verse, 7. And so I want to go back up because I'm going back up because I need to, let me go ahead and stress this point. You want to hold on to this, that Cain brought God an unacceptable sacrifice, and God told him in verse 7, he said, if you do well, will you not be accepted? If you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door. Its desire is for you, but you must rule over it. And Cain had a free will, and Cain spoke to Abel, his brother, and when, I'm letting you know, Cain had a free will. So Cain spoke to Abel, his brother, and when they were in the field, Cain rose up against his brother Abel and killed him. So you can rise up in your flesh and do the wrong thing. You have a free will, but you choose to rise up in your flesh and do the wrong thing. We rise up in our flesh and we do the wrong thing in our free will that we have. We can choose right or wrong. That means that you have a choice, but it doesn't mean you have the right to do it. Amen. And so we need to differentiate between the two here based on the story that I'm reading in Genesis 4, and I'm telling you what's right. And so we have here God is saying to Cain, Asha Korabasaya. Let me just slow down a little bit because I think the Lord wants to talk in 9. He says, and the Lord said to Cain, where is Abel, your brother? He said, I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper? And so now we have Cain, and he is hiding his brothers from God because his brother is no longer alive. But you know what? His brother's blood is crying out to God, and God knows his brother's, his brother's blood has a voice. And so that's the point. Just because you're hiding something don't mean you're hiding from God. See, we see things only what we see it just manifest in our eyesight. We don't really know what the makeup of a human being is. We don't really know what life is and the consistency of life because God created life. And God is now saying that this blood has a voice and is crying out to him. Verse 9, 10, and the Lord, well, I'm sorry, with 9 again. Then the Lord said to Cain, where is Abel, your brother? He said, I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper? So he sounded like he was being sarcastic. Am I my brother's keeper? He wasn't even dealing with the truth of the matter. He was still hiding it from God. Am I my brother's keeper, right? So he's masking it. 10, and the Lord said, what have you done? The voice of your brother's blood is crying to me from the ground. And so God is telling us and letting us know that, again, that whenever we sin, God sees the sin. We can't cover it. We could put a covering on it. We could put a false covering on it. You know what I'm saying? We can dress it up. We can embellish it. We can put jewels on it, diamonds on it, put everything on that covering that you want to be, but it's still a lie. You can hide that thing all the way behind in a whole other country. And let me tell you, God can see it because the eyes of the Lord run to and fro, right, looking on whose behalf he can show himself strong on the behalf of. God's eyes are always searching throughout the earth. God sees all. He knows all. He's all seeing. He's all knowing. That's just who he is. That's his nature. That's his makeup. And so here Cain was trying to hide this from God. And so the point is that you can't hide anything from God. And so we need to understand, all of us as Christians, that we are all called to cover our brother. We're to cover them and protect them in righteousness. We are to protect them as God, a father, would protect them. We are to love them and to allow God to process them as a leader and as a shepherd. A shepherd is to watch over the sheep and make sure that the wolf doesn't come in and devour them. So we have to have the right kind of covering. Satan, the deceiver, would use the word covering, and he would use the word covering to use it because he's the opposite, and he wants to be like God. But he's going to use that word covering based on his character, which is what? To have secrets. To hide something that or take something, Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So he's going to come with his evil, wicked purposes, but everything God does is good. Amen. So they were still in need of a covering. You know, we're still in need of a covering, to feel in need of a perfect covering. And so as we begin to read the rest of this story, we find that Cain did not listen to God. Cain was actually, I want to read a little bit more. I want to read it from the scripture. And God, how did God deal with Cain after Cain decided to actually kill his brother? He didn't repent. And because if he would have repented, I believe God would have done it a whole other way. God would have helped him. Though he had a consequence, God would have still worked with him. Let's see. God is still gracious. Listen to even in this, how God worked with him. He said, and the Lord, so, and it says, verse again, so 11 says, and now you are cursed from the ground, which has opened the mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. So God cursed him. He said, now you are cursed from the ground, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you work the ground, it shall no longer yield to you its strength. You shall be a fugitive and a wanderer on the earth. And so this was Cain's penalty. This is Cain's penalty for killing his brother. And so when we say, well, no, you know what, we can kill a baby and there's no repercussions, there's no consequences, it's not really a baby. Well, the truth of the matter is, you know, you can act in the nature of Satan and act like it's not there and it doesn't exist and you just hide and you keep in secrets. That's demonic stuff, right? Or you can go ahead and say, no, God, look, God's all seeing, God's all knowing. Let me come before God and repent. I did it, God, please forgive me. And then allow God to heal you, allow God to take you through the process. And, of course, the wisest thing to do is not to get caught in that kind of situation anyway and realize that sex is between a husband and a wife, and there's a covenant, there's a covering in marriage, there's a covering, and also godly fathers cover their children so the enemy won't come in and take and steal what does not belong to him, to them. And so then we see, so as I even talk more about what happened to Cain here, I want to talk now about verse, let's see. Oh, so Cain was telling the Lord that this is too much for him. So Cain said to the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. And so even in Cain's horrible sin and in his lack of repentance, that I hear no repentance, verse 14, the Lord, and Cain is saying, behold, you've driven me today away from the ground, and from your face I shall be hidden. I shall be a fugitive and a wanderer on the earth, and whoever finds me will kill me. Then the Lord said to him, not so. If anyone kills Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And I, the Lord, and the Lord put a mark on Cain. So this is what the Lord did. And the Lord put a mark on Cain, lest any who found him should attack him. 16, then Cain went away from the presence of the Lord and settled in the land of Nod, east of Eden. And so we find here, and I want to, let me stop right there. No, let me be 17. I'll stop at 17. Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bore Enoch. When he built a city, he called the name of the city after the name of his son Enoch. And so we see, Father, God is still, you know, God is still being loving, God is still being kind, but God hates sin, and there is a consequence for sin. And so the point is this, the focus that I'm trying to make is that God has a proper covering as a father. He covers a nation, my God. And then we think, oh, I want to go into the fathers of our nation. I want to talk about how they follow Judeo-Christian beliefs and how they covered America and how they crafted the Constitution to cover the peoples and to bring about justice and righteousness, prosperity, and to protect their progeny and to, you know, protect their posterity and to protect their lands. And God, because of God, God loves them. But of course, if you don't know God and you don't have the spirit of God, you will act in the spirit of Cain. You will act like the devil. You're going to hide. You're going to hide secrets. You're going to, you know, act, you're going to be scandalous. You're going to have the devil's nature, and you can't produce anything good because you're of the devil. The Bible says that, and I believe it's John 8:44. But my point is God is a God. He's a good covering. He's a holy covering. He's a righteous covering. God, I mean, and the flip side of that is that Satan, it comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And so he's going to always hide. It doesn't matter how wonderful you beautify the covering, or you call yourself a leader or a teacher or a priest or whatever. I'm not bashing pastors. I love, hey, love, cover, we'll cover, intercede for pastors. And for leaders, of course, by all means, but God has called them to cover the flock. Their job is to be a proper covering and a godly covering to make sure the sheep doesn't come in and steal the precious treasure. Children are our greatest heritage. What did Jesus say to the disciples when the parents, the mothers kind of came to bring their babies to Jesus to be blessed? Let's go to that verse. I'm going to end in that verse, and I'm thinking that it's in Luke. Give me a few minutes. I want to grab that so that I can read that. But y'all, the Lord is good. I turn right to it. God is good. So Mark 10 says, and they were bringing children to him that he might touch them, and the disciples rebuked them. And so we have here now parents who are bringing their children to Jesus to pray for them and to bless them. The disciples rebuked them. And so the point is that we are to, when mothers come to us, mothers, those who are pregnant, not pregnant people, as they want to call them, or pregnant persons, mothers who are actually pregnant with children, for real, call it by its name. Come on, don't we don't use any euphemisms or misnames. Call it what it is. Come on, eyes are wide open. We don't have to act like our eyes are shut when we can see. And so here now, these mothers are coming to be blessed by Jesus. And so now, before I get to the indignation of the disciples. The fact is that God is saying, I want you to bring the children to me. If you bring the children to me and bring them up in the fear and the admonition of the Lord, they can receive the blessings of the Lord. Because the truth of the matter is that Jesus loves them and Jesus wants to bless them. Bless means in the Hebrew, empower to prosper. I believe it's the Hebrew or the Greek. It means to empower to prosper. So God wants to pray for them. God wants to pray blessings over them. He wants to bless them, and however the Lord would want to bless each and every one of those children. He probably spoke a unique and special word for each and every child, because each and every child is blessed. So leaders are, you'll see this in churches today, you'll see where priests may very well consecrate children or pray for children, or pastors may very well extend their hands and lay hands on children and bless them. That is the stance of a leader, is to bless the children, is to parents to train up a child in the way that they should go. And then leaders, of course, to give give children and all people the instruction of the Father God. That is the instruction, is to teach them the word of God and the ways of God. That's the way that it's supposed to go. Even according to Titus 2, older men and women have an obligation to teach that which is good to the younger believers that are coming up in the church. We are to pass on from generation to generation the word of God. Amen. We are to, come on, pass it on to others that they might know the ways of God. And so here, really, that's what the Lord is saying. I was going to talk a little bit more about that, but on your own, you want to read Mark 10, 13 through, wow, it's so beautiful, Jesus. 13 through 16, I would love to read it, Father. But on your own, you want to read 13 through 16, because it says he took them in his arms and blessed them, laying his hands on them. And that's just so beautiful. We talk about the beauty of the Lord and the love of the Lord. Listen, everything, you know how you know that something's of God is going to bear his fruit. It's going to look like him. At no point are we supposed to be confused and say, I'm pro-choice, because at that, what did God say in Deuteronomy? He makes it really easy. He makes it really plain. He said, choose this day whom you will serve, you know. But let me go ahead and read that verse related to making a choice, so we'll know how to make a choice. In Deuteronomy, we don't want to be confused. In Deuteronomy 30, 19, it says, let me go on over there. It says, the word says, I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I've set before you life and death, blessing and curse. And so God is talking to us. He says, I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I've set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Therefore, choose life that you and your offspring may live. And so God wants us to live. God is the creator of life. He's the author of life. Jesus Christ said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And so his side is all life. Everything God does is good. And then God wants us to pass down, listen, that goodness, because we're created in his image and his likeness. You belong on the good side, right? Satan is everything evil, wicked, unholy, ungodly, counterfeit, fake, false, lying, deceiving, false cover. Everything you can think of that's a deceiving, lying, manipulative, that's the devil, that's demonic. But listen, if you don't walk with God, if you don't have that ear to hear God, you might end up walking, listening to the devil. We have every day. The Bible says, he said we need to deny ourselves every day. We need to take up the cross every day. I need to go before God. God, cleanse me, purge me, purify me. God, take everything unholy out of me. Make me like you, God. Help me to, matter of fact, Holy Spirit, have your way. God, what you want to bring in my life today, God, listen, this prayer is for all of us. Lord God, bring what you want to bring in my life. Do what you want to do in my life. God, cleanse me, purge me, purify me. Lord God, I put on the armor of God that you gave me, your covering, your protection. Lord, I put on the helmet of salvation. God, I put on the breastplate. Let's go to Ephesians 6. Let's put on the armor, because here's our covering. The word of God is our covering. Come on, we got to put it on every day, or the devil's going to come and lie. Because listen, the devil's out there every day. He lives out in the world system, right? So he lives out here. This is where he lives. Listen, greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. We have authority. The devil's under our feet. We got to put him under our feet. We got to keep him under our feet. Everybody in Ephesians 6 and 10, it says, finally be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God. Here's the covering of God. Listen, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth. Let's put the armor on. Come on. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness. Jesus is my righteousness. And as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. And so God wants us to continue to pray. Listen, prayer is a covering. Have a prayer covering over your children, okay? Teach them and train them in the words of God. That's a covering. Come on, fathers and mothers, let's protect our children. Train up a child in the way he should go, he or she should go. And when they're old, they won't depart from it. That word of God's going to go into their spirit. Listen, that word of God will keep them. Holy Ghost can bring it up to them and remind them. He can speak it to them. Listen, and so continue. We have to pray. We have to spend time in the word. We need to fellowship with one another and encourage one another. Love covers a multitude of sin. Come on. God is the proper covering. God is the one. He says, take off the old and put on the new in Colossians 3. And so God wants us covered with his word. He doesn't want us walking around here naked, open and vulnerable to the devil so he can come and steal and kill and rob from us. God wants us covered. And so listen, in the covering, God wants us to be wise. God wants us to cover our babies. God wants us to cover the most, the greatest resource, which is our children. Amen. And so God wants us to hold on. God wants us to keep our babies. God wants us to stay under the covering of his glory, of his presence, to dwell with him, to be with him, to remain with him, to abide in him. Yes, yes, in fellowship with him, connected to him. Listen, so we don't miss a beat, so we can fulfill our purpose, and listen, so we can give him glory. God wants us to walk with him. How can two walk together unless they agree? And God has his hand extended out to you, because God wants to cover you as a father with his love. He wants to hold you, wants to comfort you, he wants to restore you. Oh, God wants to bring you on to him in his love. Come on, his love covers. And we thank God for his love and for his goodness and for his grace. And we thank God that he is the ultimate covering that we need. Let's bring our entire families up under the covering and the protection of God. Listen, and if you didn't have a natural father, God wants to be that father, that covering, that protection for you. And he did it through Jesus Christ, who's a manifestation. He's the manifested word of God that became flesh, amen, to die on the cross for our sins. Oh God, the Bible says if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness and from every sin. And so listen, if we call upon the name of the Lord, we shall be saved, amen. So when you call upon the name of Jesus, you shall be saved, and Jesus Christ wants to save you. He loves you. He created you to have fellowship with you, that you might walk with him, that you might know him. And so this is the will of God, that every man would know him and walk with him and talk with him and abide with him. And so we thank God for his grace, his mercy, his love, and his presence. We thank God for his abiding light for who he is. Amen. And so God wants to be there for you. Let God be your covering. God bless you, and thank you for listening on today. In Jesus' name, amen.